you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, November 10th. 2020. It's Testimony Tuesday, and as you know, it's one of my favorite days of the week because we get to share a faith journey story. An individual, or sometimes maybe it's a couple or something, will come into the studio and we'll get to know them and get to ask them, how did the Lord woo them to himself? Or tell us about your faith journey story and how you came to know the love of Jesus and so forth. And has been the pattern every so often on a Memorization Monday, we don't get to really flesh out the whole story, how he came to faith in Jesus and such. And so if you were tuned in yesterday, you knew we had Pastor Juan Laredo in the studio. He's the senior pastor at the Champaign First Church of the Nazarene. Been married to Kelly these 15 years, and they have two lovely daughters and six grandchildren that keep them busy and hopping and jumping. And
I think the two daughters have been busy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Maybe the grandparents aren't quite as busy, but they love their daughters and their grandbabies. And Pastor Juan loves God's Word. That became evident
it
yesterday
sure
as we looked at Colossians 3:16. And that program is archived, so you can listen to it anytime at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under the archive programs page, or at wluj.org. WLUJ.org, and they have it under the Mark and Friends tab, so you can tune in. But we looked at Colossians 3:16, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God." And we just got kind of warmed up and got to hear a little about what fires up Pastor Juan Laredo. And so we never got to share some of your faith journey, but I know you grew up in California, but your family members originally from Mexico, and family members were Catholic. So take
correct.
Us through some of that faith journey.
Absolutely. I was born into a Catholic home. My mom and dad were born in Mexico, a little town called Benjamo in Mexico, Guanajuato. And they got married. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a teacher as well. And they were doing pretty good, but, you know, times were tough in Mexico during his life. And so my dad said, listen, I'm going to go to California to be with my brother to help make some money so that we can, you know, we can survive out here, possibly maybe bring you later on. And that's what took place. And my sister was born in Mexico, my oldest sister, Leticia. But when my mom and dad arrived here to the States, they started having kids, and I was number five. So there's eight of us total, and I'm number five, and like the middle child. Nonetheless, you know, my mom got saved at a revival service. We lived right across the street from the Church of Nazarene. And during one of those revival services, we saw all the kids out there playing in the front, and my sister and I, we kind of wandered across the street, and my mom started to panic because she couldn't find us. My dad said, they probably went across the street with the other kids. Why don't you go out there and see if they're there? And sure enough, we were at the very front row listening, you know, with the other kids out there in the very front row of the church service. And so when my mom came to look for us, she stood at the door and she was looking in, and there we were in the very front row, and my dad told my mom, go get him. So my mom walked in. She walked in, but she couldn't leave. She said she walked in, she sat down, and she began to listen and try to understand what the preacher was saying. A lady who worked in the mission field in Mexico came up and asked my mom, do you understand what he's saying, what the preacher's saying? And she says, no, I don't know any English at all. Mm-hmm. And she began to interpret the word of the Lord to
praise
her.
Praise God.
She invited my mom the second night to come back, and my mom came back again and again. And on the third night, my mom got saved. Mm. That changed the dynamics of our home. We were a messed up family, theologically speaking. But as I grew up, I attended the Catholic Church, too. I made my first communion, confirmation, you know, went to catechism, did all that. I was even an altar boy all through high school. Mm. But at the age of 14, I made a decision that the Church of the Nazarenes, where I want to be at, I want to be with my mom. I want to worship here because this is where I feel like God's speaking to me. At the age of 14, is at another revival that was being held there, I heard God called me to ministry. And there at the Church of Nazarene in Bloomington, Bloomington First Church of the Nazarene, which is called now The Bridge in Bloomington, California, there is where I received my call. Pastor Ron Lewis was the youth leader back then, and that guy was amazing. He loved kids, and we gave him a lot of heck, but he never gave up on me. He always prayed for me, always sought after me. He always walked down the street where we lived, because we lived right across the street, and he always reminded me about church, about services, about things that were going to take place across the street. And it wasn't until the age of 18, they had another revival service there, and I attended, and I heard God called me again, and he asked me, would you be a pastor for me?
And this is at 18.
At age of 18. And I didn't want to tell any of my friends. My friends would have probably looked at me and said, you're crazy. Here you are, you're hearing voices. And so I kept that to myself. I didn't say anything to anybody. And then at the age of 24, God called me again. And this time I said, I knew who it was that was calling me. And the very same words that I heard when I was 14 and when I was 18, I heard them again at the age of 24. But this time, God said, will you be a pastor for me? This is the last time I'm calling you. And at that moment in time, I said, okay, Lord, I will, but I need you to help me because I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to begin. But lo and behold, God began to bring people into my life, seasoned Christian brothers and sisters who saw something in me that I could not see in myself. The thing that God saw in me, he revealed it to them, and they began to nurture me and love me in the ways of the Lord. And I began to grow, and I began to grow. And then later on, I got married at a very young age, and my marriage was a disaster from the start. It was wrong. I got married at the age of 19. I had a kid. So it was just all, it wasn't going to work out. And it ended on a bad note. And so I stayed single for the longest time. I didn't want to date anyone or anyone. I came to Indiana to visit my sister just to spend time with her, just to get away, just to, you know, my sister said, come on out. You need a time out. You need just to get away from it all. Come out here and spend some time with me and take a vacation. And so I did that. Came out to Indiana, and my sister said, why don't you just stay here? And I said, I have a job. I have a job to go back to.
Why don't you stay here in Indiana?
It is a good state.
I also have a daughter, remember? And so she said, you know what? Maybe mom can help you out. She raised, take care of Emily, my daughter, and then, you know, you can send for her. And that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. I went back to California. I put in my 2 weeks' notice. Before I went back to California, I applied. I just, for kicks and giggles, I went out and I applied at some jobs, and I got called. And they even offered me the job, and they're willing to work with me to go back to California to tie up loose ends and come back. But it wasn't until I got to really Indiana that God really grabbed a hold of me, and I really started saying yes to the ministry. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it was here in Indiana where I met my lovely wife, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Pastor Paul Vincise, if you're listening at all to this radio station, thank you. God knew what he was doing when he put Kelly in your mind to introduce to me.
Hey, I wanted you to take us back to that 14, 18, or 24 years of age. You grew up in a Catholic home,
yes.
And I'm sure we have Catholic listeners,
yes.
And a variety of people tuned in. So you were probably aware of God and knew of the Lord Jesus Christ, but
yes.
Maybe walk us through how it became more personal, or how God revealed himself in such a way where you just said, Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my heart. I need you to forgive me of my sins. What
Absolutely.
What made it less religious and more maybe personal?
Oh, yes. I don't want to say anything bad about the Catholic Church. And there are a bunch of lovely people there that loved us kids. Father John, you know, I loved him. He loved us. he worked with us. You know, he made me an altar boy when I shouldn't have been an altar boy. I should have been put in the corner. But Father John, you know, again, he saw something in me. Mm-hmm. But the transition took place when I began to experience the word of the Lord being taught to me in a whole different way. It wasn't just being spoken up behind the pulpit. It was being lived out in my life. Mm-hmm. People were really were showing an interest in me and who I was. They took the time to, you know, to come over our house. And when our family started to experience some hardship, the Church of the Nazarene came across the street with boxes of food and laid them at our doorstep. I remember that. And I've experienced a love in the Church of the Nazarene that I've never experienced before. And in catechism or you know, at the church services, it could have been a different church, but it was just that particular church that really started to reach out to us and love us. And I believe it was the love of Christ that I sensed in my heart, like no other place. Pastor Ron Lewis, getting a little emotional here. These people made a difference in my life.
I'm thinking about some of the things that many of my Jewish friends have said is, yeah, you guys are the people of the Word. And it's an interesting distinction that they make. Like, you're followers of that book. We can see it in how you act or your love for people or how you're so full of forgiveness or giving. And it's like a neat distinction when they see a difference in those that read God's Word that follow Jesus. Or they might say, you're those Christ followers or those followers of Jesus, which is another unique distinction that maybe separates us from other world religions. You follow that Jesus God, that Jesus man. And so that's what you were seeing as a boy, these loving followers of Jesus demonstrating through their word, through their deeds, if you will, a supernatural love, a unique love that influenced you in knowing God. So God became much more personal, would you say, when you were the 14 or 18? And that's maybe the journey you're on now, is he continually is personal?
Yes, absolutely. It was that personal. And I began to experience God in a different way, too. Let me just say that. It wasn't just about attending church. I began to experience the freedom of worship that I wasn't allowed to experience or to display in the Catholic Church. And again, I don't want to say anything wrong. The Catholic Church, there's a lot of wonderful people there. But I wasn't experiencing or I wasn't able to express myself the way I wanted to in that church setting. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the Church of the Nazarene, right across the street from me, I was able to be Juan Laredo. You know, I didn't have to put on a face. I didn't have to walk in, and although maybe some people do when they go to church, they put on a facade. But that particular church at that particular time in my life, those people were real. They were genuine. And the love I experienced coming out of their hearts towards me kind of captivated me. It grabbed me. Mm-hmm. And I was drawn to that.
That is so powerful. And so you came to Indiana, and how did you get here?
Here in Champaign?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
No, not here in the station. Here in Champaign.
In Champaign. Yeah. Well, that's a long story, but I'll cut it down for you. I went to Nazarene Bible College, went to Colorado Springs. I sold everything I could because I wanted to fulfill the call, the promise I made God. I said, God, I will follow you. All right, I will serve you, but you got to show me. And he began to point towards Colorado Springs Nazarene Bible College. And that's where I ended up going. Mm-hmm. I met Kelly. I told Kelly, I got to go. It was nice knowing you. thank you for the wonderful 5 or 6 months that we had together as, just friends and stuff. But I got to go to school. I'm going to finish. I want to go into the ministry. And, of course, you know, she understood. She's a PK. She's a preacher's kid herself. So she understood. I went to Colorado. We had this long-distance relationship. And while there at Nazarene Bible College, I got a job working for the Department of Defense on post at Fort Carson. So I became a DOD employee. And I came back to Indiana, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me that this girl is really meant to be my wife. And he did. He revealed it to me. This young lady came up and said, oh, your wife is so beautiful. We walked into church.
That's said, great. Okay,
I'll take that as a yes, Lord. So I asked her to marry me that night. That night I asked her to marry me, and I got back on the plane, went back to Colorado, and then on July 2006, I came back to Indiana, and we got married. One of my professors, Dr. Jay Ott, he married us. He drove from Colorado to Indiana to marry us.
You have spoken so highly of your wife when we were talking before the program. You really, really do honor her.
I tell you something, and if I can, I just want to touch. We spoke about this. For those of you who are listening, I want to share a word to you. I was without a wife for 7 years, and I remember calling out to God when I started to feel really lonely, and I said, God, would you let me be a husband once again? I asked God, I will honor her, Lord. I will love her, and I pray that I'm holding up my end of the bargain.
Oh.
I hope my wife can say he loves me.
Beautiful.
Because that's where I was given a second chance at marriage, and I don't want to take that for granted. I love you, honey, if you're listening.
Oh.
God has blessed me with you, and I thank God for you.
Oh,
when you said you were sharing this yesterday, one of the unique aspects of this relationship when you were serving in Indiana and the potential calling to come to Illinois, you were in a successful church. Things
yes.
were going well. You kind of loved it. You were going to stay there as long as you could. And then suddenly there was this opportunity, and you were sharing a little story
yes.
about your wife coming in, and she has a great job
mm-hmm.
in a hospital there in Indiana. And like, why would you want to come to Champaign? Maybe take us through that in
yes,
the last few
absolutely.
Minutes.
Yes. The church was going great. Sullivan, Indiana, Church of the Nazarene. Great people there. Oh, I love those people. Mm-hmm. Generous people.
That's your pastor talking to you out there in Sullivan.
yeah. So, great, great people. I love them. They love Jesus. Yes, everything was going great. We renovated the church. The church went through a renovation project. We were about ready to do some groundbreaking for a fellowship hall. Everything was going great. And all of a sudden, a friend of mine gives me a call and he says, hey, man, just want to let you know that I gave your name to the district superintendent in Illinois, and he just may give you a call because he's looking for a pastor for this church in Champaign. I said, you did not. And he said, yeah, I did. I sure did. And so he gave my name to Dr. Kramer. Dr. Kramer calls me the very next day and says, listen, would you prayerfully consider sending me your resume for this church here in Champaign. And Kelly at this point was saying, I ain't moving. I'm not going anywhere. We were here. God has brought us here. And then one night
she's got a great job.
Yeah, she's got a great job. She's working at the hospital. Things are going great for her. And one night I remember typing in the kitchen. I was working in the evening. And all of a sudden she walked in the kitchen. And I guess I thought she was going to say good night. I'm going to bed. She came over, wrapped her arms around me from behind, and kissed me on my cheek. And I sensed something wet on my face, and I looked up, and she was crying. And she said, honey, wherever God wants us to go, I'm willing to go. If he wants us to go to Champaign, I'm ready.
Bless you, Kelly.
And so we came here, we interviewed here. Interview went so well. They asked us to preach. I had a sermon already prepared. As I was listening to the board, I knew that this wasn't the message that God wanted the church to hear. So I went back up to my hotel room. I typed up a new sermon.
Wow.
I came back the next morning and preached that sermon with about 3 hours of sleep. So, church members, just remember that sometimes your pastor's work extremely hard to prepare the messages that you hear every Sunday. Mm-hmm. So please don't ever give him any, you know, don't ever say that was a bad sermon.
Have grace.
Have grace, yes. So they heard the sermon, and I preached out of Hebrews chapter 2 about the warning about drifting away. Mm-hmm. And we had an altar call, and people came to the altar. Mm. And 2 weeks later, they asked me if I would be their pastor, and we gladly accepted.
And in March, that'll be three full years serving here in the yes. Champaign
well,
area.
I think Champaign is so blessed to have you, Pastor. Thank you.
Oh, you know, I'm blessed myself.
Pastor Juan, in our closing minute or two, how can our listeners pray for you? You serve at the Champaign First Church of the Nazarene, but what would you hope that God will accomplish in the coming days?
Please pray that God will continue to use me to serve. That's all I want to do is serve. Hmm. If I can bring joy to another brother's life, that God will make me a soul winner. Hmm. That's how you can pray for me. That God will lead me to souls, hungry souls that want to know Jesus. And that He will give me the words and the love to give to them in their hour of need.
Well, let's just pray real quick. Pastor Juan, may God really, truly, God, please do that. Hear that prayer. You'll be a soul winner. Mm. In Jesus' name. Yeah.
And all of God's people said, Amen. From Indiana throughout central Illinois to the western part of the state and on streaming audio, maybe parts of the world, we just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for being our Savior, being God, allowing us to have a destiny and eternity in heaven that we look forward to, but yet we can live for Him this very day. So,
can I give one last shout out before I leave? Troy Pearson, if you're listening, happy birthday. I love you, brother. You're a true brother in Christ.
Okay. There you heard it right on Great
heard
News
here.
Radio. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Juan Laredo with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.